wait, right? Might as well just wait. Well, open your Bibles, if you would please, to Psalm 56. Back to our study of the Psalms. And we're kind of in a section of the Psalms right now where there are similarities between them, and yet there are differences. Quite a few of these Psalms in a row are David crying out to God because he's in trouble of some kind. And the special thing about this Psalm is that David was afraid. David was afraid. So take your Bibles, if you haven't yet, open to Psalm 56. And the Spirit of God has saved this psalm for us so that we would see how the godly man or woman responds when faced with fear. What do you do? And so the title of the message this morning is Whenever I Am Afraid, just quoting from David in verse 3. Psalm 56, the inscription reads, "To the chief musician," and stop there for a moment. That means, and if you want to, you might memorize this. Whenever you see "to the chief musician," remember, musical instruction for public consumption. Really, every psalm is that. Musical instruction for public consumption. Because God wants to teach us here. And then in my Bible it says, "Set to the silent dove in distant lands." Your Bible might say something slightly different. But assuming that's correct, David was a little bit like that. A dove is a symbol of purity and vulnerability. And David was all by himself in a distant land. And he was silent because he's in danger. So like a silent dove in distant lands is David, and it's a miktam. Many commentaries will say we don't really know the meaning of that word. However, Spurgeon takes a stab at it. He thinks it means precious secret. And so whenever you see a miktam, you should be looking for some precious secret in that psalm, and I will tell you what I think it is in this psalm, so be watching for that. It says a miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. So what was the name of the giant from Gath? Goliath. And who killed him? David. And so where's the place that you're going to be in danger? Gath. David has wound up in the town of the giant he once killed many years before. And so we're going to see that David was in serious danger and very afraid. Psalm 56. "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down these peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living?" Well, David, as I said, was in serious danger. Saul and his several hundred soldiers had hounded him right out of the land of Israel, and he wound up in the hands of the Philistines in Gath, and they recognized him. And when David knew that they had recognized him, the Bible says he became very afraid. Just listen, I won't have you turn there, but just listen to Psalm or 1 Samuel 21:10 and following. "David arose and fled that day from Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing about him to one another in their dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands?'" Well, David had slain ten thousands of what? Philistines. And so the servants of the king of Gath are saying, "Look, we should kill him, or we should make him suffer." And verse 12, 1 Samuel 21:12, "Now David took these words to heart, and he was very much afraid." Very much afraid. What is fear? It is that very unpleasant feeling, that very unpleasant emotion when you sense that you are in serious danger. You may or may not be, but sometimes you are. And really contrary to popular culture and a popular contemporary song these days, fear is not always a liar. Fear may tell you that you need to run to God, and you do. And that's what David does here. He runs to God. And in his fear, he wrote this song, which the Spirit of God has preserved for us because it shows us how a godly man is to respond when he faces fear and how to respond in a way that honors God. So I'm just going to give you some practical advice from this psalm this morning. And with each piece of advice, I'll tell you why. All right, and you might be thinking, I'm never afraid, I'm fearless. You know what? Your day may come. Your day may come when you are fearful. And I will also tell you that you should not dis fear. You should not disrespect fear. Fear is God-given, and fear is required by God in the Old Testament. What does the Lord require but that you should fear him? Deuteronomy 10, 12. All right? So you should have a fear of God. Fear him now as you listen to his word. Number one, whenever you're afraid, tell God all your trouble. Tell God all your trouble. This we see throughout this psalm, but especially in verses 1 and 2, and then 5 and following. Look at verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. What is David doing? He's telling God his troubles. And he goes on in verse 5, but what I want you to see just for a moment here is just how mean people can be. Because David is really revealing something here about people. And sometimes God is teaching us about mankind. And we are reminded here that mankind can be very mean. And I want you to learn and remember and just realize some things that people can do. Because David says twice in here, what can man do to me? Well, David himself is answering the question. One thing people can do to you is they can crush you. Verse 1 says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. But if you have a New American Standard, it says trample me down. And the root idea of this word in both cases is crush you. How many of you have ever seen someone, or maybe you've done this, take an aluminum can and you go, see how strong I am? You just crush that can. Well, sometimes you can be the can in the hand of somebody else who is trying to crush you with the things they say about you or the things that they threaten you with. And this is how David feels. Lord, help me, because man would crush me, trample me under, or crush me with his teeth. People can be like that. They can crush you. They can oppress you day after day or all day long. Look again at verse 1. You should be following along in your Bible, by the way. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me or crush me all day long, for there are many who fight against me. People can be like this. They can oppress you, which means they can put pressure on you and cause you pain and suffering. Third, they can twist everything you say. You ever had that? You say, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Or, that's what you said, but that's not what I meant. Oh, no, I know what you meant. I didn't mean that. Twisting what you say. Look at verse 5. All day they twist my words. They make it like I said things I didn't say, or they make it like I meant things I never meant. And they use it to hurt me. It's frightening when people start doing that, because you're thinking, man, they can make it like I said a lot of things I never said. They can make it like I told lies, and I didn't. They can twist the things that you say. They can get others to join in with them. Look at verse 5 again. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They join forces. They get other people to join them and say, hey, come on, let's be against this guy. Let's be against this woman. They get other people to join their side. And finally, they can hide. They can hide, which means they can hide their true intentions. Verse 6, they gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. That means they watch every step that I take. And they're just waiting for me to trip up when they lie in wait for my life. People can be really mean, right? I mean, people can be bullies. Your own spouse can be a bully. You can be a bully. We should be reminded that we can be this way, sadly. We can bully one another. What is David doing here? He's just telling God all his troubles. It's what you should do, just like the children said. What do you do when you're afraid? You should pray and you should tell God everything that's happening. Just tell him the whole story. Tell him all your troubles. Now, there are things that people can do to you, but is there anything they can't do? Yes. If you are a child of God, they cannot succeed and they cannot escape. Look at verse 7. David says to God, shall they escape by iniquity? I mean, obviously they can do a lot to you by their sinning, but can they escape by their sinning? Can they become so crafty that they can get out of God dealing with them? No. No, no. They can't. And so David knows that they can't, and he says, in anger, cast down these peoples, O God. He's saying, cast down, bring these people to the end of this thing against me, stop them, make them stop it. He's just asking God to do what God has done many times before to the enemies of his children. Why should you do that? Now, the first thing you should do when you feel afraid is you should tell God all your trouble. Why? And the answer is found in verse 2. It's because God is most high. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O most high. This is the gospel. This is good news. Our God is God most high. He's most high in position. He sees everything that goes on. He hears everything. He knows exactly what someone else is doing. He knows what you're facing. He's most high in position. He's most high in power. There's nothing God can't do. If God isn't dealing with your enemies, it's not because he lacks knowledge or power. He's most high. And he's most high in protection. There's no one who cares about you and for you more than he does. You know, all the while, if you've ever been attacked by somebody else, and most of you have faced that at one time or another, and you probably will if you haven't yet, all the while that someone else is attacking you, there's someone else who is hearing and seeing the whole thing. And that's God. He sees it all. And you can be certain that he's going to act. How many of you have ever seen one of those nature documentaries like Planet Earth? Ever seen that? You know, those of us who are older, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, you know, these chase scenes and everything. So have you ever seen the one where the mama bear is sitting there eating grubs while something is attacking her cubs, just sitting there watching? You ever seen that one? Oh, you didn't see that one? Yeah. And you never have. And you never will. Because it's never been filmed. Because mama bears do not sit and watch while their cubs are being attacked. Why not? Because that is not their nature. Well, guess what? It isn't God's nature to sit and watch while his children are being attacked. That is completely against his nature. So you can be absolutely certain that if you are a child of God, important condition there. If you are a child of God and you are being attacked or you have something that's causing you to be fearful, God is not going to let this go on forever. Sooner or later, one way or another, he is going to turn your enemies back. It does kind of remind me of the guy who did come between a bear and her cubs. And when he realized that, he ran. And so the mama bear chased after him. And when he realized he was not going to get away from her, he stopped. And the bear stopped. And he got down on his knees. And the bear got down on her knees. And he bowed his head and folded his hands and looked up. And the bear bowed her head and put her paws together like this. And he looked up and he said, are you praying too? And she said, you're the only one praying. I'm saying grace. Don't let that be your only takeaway from today's sermon. Don't say, I don't remember what sermon was, but we heard a really good joke. All right, so I just test you, make sure that you haven't forgotten. What should you do when you're afraid? You tell God all your troubles, right? Tell God all your troubles. Number two, you ask God to show you grace. Ask him to show you grace. Look at verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Some of your Bibles say, be gracious. Show me grace. That's what this means. Show me your favor. Show me your undeserved kindness. Is God gracious? Yes, he is. And this is his glory. It's what makes God so worthy of worship. It's why we sing songs to him. In Exodus 34, when Moses said, show me your glory, you remember God answered in a sentence that reveals his glory. And that sentence begins, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. And in John 1, the Apostle John says of Jesus, who is God in the flesh, we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Our God is full of grace. But because we have all sinned against Him, we don't deserve that He should show us grace. So what should you do when you're afraid? You should ask, Lord, please show me Your grace. Show me this undeserved kindness and get me out of this frightening situation. Romans 5 says of believers, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him also we have access into this grace in which we stand. This is the good news. This is the blessing of justification. That if you're a true Christian, then not only have you been declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, you have continual access to more grace from God. And we're given every encouragement and every kind of exhortation to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find grace to help us in our time of need. So what should you do when you are afraid? Whenever you're afraid, you should tell all your troubles to God, and you should ask God to show you grace. Third, then you should just count on God to answer. Count on God to answer you in His perfect timing. In other words, put your trust in Him. Verse 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Now, David does not mean by asking that question that flesh can do nothing to him. What he does mean is flesh can do nothing to me ultimately. There are a lot of things that people can do to you, but they can never destroy your soul if you're a child of God. They can never separate you from God. They can never cut you off from God's help or from God's grace. And so that's why he says, ultimately, what can flesh do to me? I have God. So you need to count on God. Notice what he says in verse 8. You number my wanderings, that means you keep track of my goings and comings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Does God have a book? Yes, He does. Did you know that? God has a book. It is called the Book of Life. It's also called the Book of the Living. And in that book, and there are quite a few scripture references that refer to this book, God calls it the Book of Life, and it contains the names of those who fear God. It means it contains the name of true believers. Malachi 3:16 is a verse that talks about this. I'll give you a New Testament verse, Philippians 4:3. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, I urge you, true companion, help these women who labored for me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the Book of Life. Yes, God has a book. We don't know all that's in there, but it has the names of those who will inherit eternal life. It has the number of years that you will live. Psalm 139, even before I lived them, I know the years are written down for me in the book. But here, David is saying, what about my tears? What about my tears? Are those in your book too? You might think, well, why would they be? I want you to think about this for a moment. If you have grown children, right, kids who are grown, they're up, they're out of the house. Have you ever seen your grown children cry? If you have, it's memorable. It's very memorable. If you have seen your grown children cry, because you know she's really hurting. He's really hurting. And then you start thinking, why is he hurting this way? Who did this? Who caused my beloved child to be so hurt? And it hurts you too. And you remember that. Even if you don't write it down in a book, you remember when your grown children cry. Well, listen, God is like a loving father. He's a loving parent. He knows when you cry. He knows when you're afraid. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when somebody else is hurting you. And He's like a mama bear. And He's not going to let that go on forever. So look at verse 9. When I cry to you, then my enemies will turn back. In other words, I know that one way or another, if I come to God, He's not going to let me continue to suffer this way. You say, well, how could He possibly know this? Look at verse 9 again. When I cry to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know. How? Because God is for me. That, I would say, is the miktam, the precious secret of this psalm. This is the good news in a nutshell. That if you are a child of God, He is for you. He is not against you. There's a contemporary Christian song that says that. It's a great song. He is for you. He's not against you. He's not on the side of your accuser. He's not on the side of your persecutor. He's on your side. You say, well, how could David know that? Look at verse 10. In God, I will praise His word. In the Lord, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Where do you think he found out that God is for him? In His word. You might think, well, I wonder where specifically he would find in God's word the knowledge that God for sure is for him. Well, let's go all the way back for a moment in our minds to the first great, or one of the first great promises of God. Listen, this will be familiar. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now that is the Abrahamic covenant. But the Abrahamic covenant was for Abram and all his descendants. Descendants by flesh or descendants by faith? Descendants by faith. Listen to Hebrews 2:16. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he does give help to the seed of Abraham. Assuredly, Christ gives help to the seed of Abraham. Who's that? Listen to the gospel from Galatians 3, 7 and 9. Therefore know this, that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Who are the sons of Abraham? Those of the same faith as Abraham. So then, Galatians 3, 9, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. How do we know God is for us? Because that's the gospel. For all the way back from the Abrahamic covenant, God said, I am going to choose a people for myself, and whoever blesses them, I'll bless, and whoever curses them, I'll curse. Paul, when he writes Romans, after he's gone through why we so desperately need that God would justify us, sinners, Romans 1-3, and after he goes through how it is that anyone can be justified in the sight of God, Romans 4, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, he starts going through all the benefits of our justification. I went through that with Guy this week. All these great benefits. We have peace with God, right? We have access to more grace. We have useful trials. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the love of God poured out in our hearts. We have certain confidence in the day of wrath that we will not face the wrath of God in that day. We even have joy in God just in knowing the God of the universe. And he goes through all these benefits, and then he says, Paul says, what should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is, it doesn't matter. It's not no one. It doesn't matter because God is for us, and we don't need anybody else to be for us. This is the good news. And therefore, whenever you're afraid, what do? Number one, you tell God all your troubles because He's God Most High. He sees it all. He knows it all. And He's highest in power and protection. Number two, you ask God to show you grace because He's full of grace. And number three, you count on God to answer your prayer because, according to His word, He's for you. He's on your side. And finally, and this should be the response to all of that, fourth, you turn your fears into praise. You turn your fears and your tears into praise and cries of hallelujah. Verse 12, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. And stop there for a moment. What's a vow? It's a promise, usually that you make in the presence of witnesses, like when you get married, right? Made a vow, till death do us part. Are they binding? They should be. And David says, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. So have you ever made a vow to God? Well, have you ever been baptized as a believer in obedience to Jesus Christ? And if so, then what were you doing? What were you saying? Well, I'll tell you, if you didn't know, I hope you know what you were saying. You were saying publicly, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. Part of following Jesus Christ is whenever you're afraid, you just go back to God and you put all your faith and confidence in Him. You tell Him all your troubles. You ask Him to show you grace. You count on He's going to answer you, and then you start praising Him as though He's already answered. Why? Because He has. He's already saved your soul. Look what David says. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, even though I'm scared, even though I'm in the hand of these nasty Philistines who could take my life tomorrow. I'm gonna sing praises to you in this prison or in this confinement. Why? Verse 13. Because you have delivered my soul from death as in already. I already know that you've delivered my soul from death. So I really have nothing to fear. What can man do to me? They can't cut me off from you. You've delivered my soul from death. In other words, I'm already saved. And haven't you kept my feet from falling so that I might walk before God in the light of the living? I mean, haven't you kept me living to this point for this purpose, that I would keep on living by faith in you amongst other people? So therefore, I'm going to sing praises, because part of living out a life of faith is, even when I'm afraid, I can praise. Isn't that good? And that's good news. Why would you do that? Because God is so good. He's a Savior. And He's already delivered you from the worst that can happen to you. And that's why David says, what can man do to me? Nothing now based on what God's done for me. So if you spelled that out, it spells tact. Tell God all your troubles. Ask God to show you grace. Count on Him to answer. And turn your fears to praise. And so this is a tactic for when you're facing fear. It's a strategy. It's what you do. You run to God. And if you know Him, then problem solved. Wouldn't it be great, as I said in Sunday School Hour, wouldn't it be great to have someone who was just with you all the time, who knew everything that you're going through, who loved you so much that they would only let you have to go through so much and then they would just give you relief? Wouldn't that be great? And somebody who all the while was working all this trouble together for good because you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. That's the good news for all who know Him. And so leave here rejoicing if you're a Christian, but what if you're not? What if you don't know God? Well, let me tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, then part of your problem is you don't fear Him. So let me tell you something that should give you fear. If you're here today, I'd really love you to leave here as a Christian. But you need to know this, that if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then right now you are under condemnation. You are under the wrath of God. And although you may enjoy some temporal blessings because God is still gracious to you, you shouldn't be expecting God to bless you, because by your unbelief you make God out to be a liar. God says all the time through the creation of your conscience that He exists. He certainly revealed Himself in the pages of Scripture. Everyone around you, sitting around you who's a Christian, would stand up and testify that God is real, that Christ is true, that the cross is the good news, that Christ gave His life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and He rose up again. And if you don't believe that, you're calling God and all His followers liars, and you're provoking Him to anger. That's what you're doing. You're provoking Him to anger. And all you're doing, if you don't repent today, is you're just storing up more and more and more wrath that's going to be poured out on your head in the final day. You don't want to face that. You don't want to be like those arrogant people who say, yeah, I'm going to go to hell. No, you don't want to be those fools, because people will go to hell, and you don't want to be with them. Listen, today is the day of salvation. God has brought you here today that you might fear Him and humble yourself before Him. And I can tell you this, if you will call upon the Lord today for salvation, He will save you today. He will give you His Holy Spirit. You will have nothing more to fear. You'll have nothing more to fear. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for what a great God You are. Thank You for Your love and care for us. Thank You that You are like a mama bear whose nature is to protect her own. You protect Your own, Father. We thank You for that good news and pray that we'd leave here rejoicing in it today. As we go to communion now, I pray that You would help us to set our minds on Christ and His great accomplishment on the cross of paying the price for our sins and delivering us from fear and from the devil. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.